Oh yeah. You know, I don't know. I think Dad's gone over to things over there before. The thing that I'm glad about, if anyone over here would decide to go over to their open house, is that God walks in that door with you. And I believe there can be an effect that's going to happen if someone walks in there over there, takes him with them. So I'm thankful for that. I'll pause for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you have planned for this day. I thank you that you're going to move and work in ways that we could never imagine. And I thank you ahead of time for the things that you're going to do. And we just give this service completely into your hands and move as you will. Amen. I haven't talked to you for a little while. It's spring, heading into summer. All the kids are doing good at my house. Our house is about to be besieged by baseball games. Somewhere around 80 between now and June, and for four different kids. But we will not be defeated by that. We will enjoy what we can of it. Sometimes we'll let grandmas and grandpas enjoy what they can of it. Because it doesn't define who we are. It's something we do. So, about 2 weeks ago, well, I don't know what day it was. About 2 weeks ago. You know, Bob and I, we have flexible hours at work, which is nice. We can start when we want. We can end when we want. It's just the middle time that's rough, right, Bob? The starting and ending is not close enough together. But, so one morning that week, 2 weeks ago, I got up a little late. I was running late. I left my house at like 5 o'clock. Yeah, it was late. And so usually when I'm on my way to work, there's just music on the radio because no disc jockey is up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, there's one up, but he's just playing music and he's not talking. But I was running late and I turned on 93.3, and I don't know if any of you were ever in a car at that time of the morning, but Focus on the Family's on in the morning. And it happened to be on. And over the years, on some mornings when I've been running a little late, I've heard Focus on the Family, you know, and I appreciate the word that I hear on there a lot of times. Sometimes it's not really speaking to me, and I might turn to a channel with some music, you know, whatever. Well, I'm driving to work, and this guy's on there talking. And he's talking about being all in, 100%. To God and to your family. And God immediately convicted me. And he let me know that I wasn't all in. And that's not a good feeling. And he spoke a word to me. And that word that he spoke to me describes what Randy was just talking about. And that word is accountability. That was the word he spoke to me. And he showed me an old wound in me that had been festering for too many years. And he let me know, in no uncertain terms, that if I didn't take accountability for that thing, that I wasn't going to grow anymore. And that really scared me. Psalm 27:4 says, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." And there was nothing uncomfortable worth risking that for. Now, I'll just give you a dictionary definition of that word accountability, and it is a willingness to accept responsibility for one's actions. That's what the dictionary says. And Romans 14:11-12 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God." God requires accountability from us. And there will come a time when we'll stand before him and we have to give that. Now, I read this yesterday. It said, "You either make yourself accountable or you will be made accountable by your circumstances." In other words, there's no escaping it. You can either deal with it or deal with what comes from it. That's what happens. Now, I want to look at two stories, because when he spoke that word to me, he immediately brought two stories to my mind. So, if you don't care, if you want, you can turn to Matthew 25. Verse 1 to 13 is a story of the wise and the foolish virgins. And it says, "The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish took no oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all lay down and slept. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourself.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'I don't know you. So stay awake and be prepared, because you do not know the day or hour of my return.'" Now, that little story of accountability by 10 ladies, it's talking about a spiritual accountability. But it's using an illustration of an intimate relationship. Okay, and then if we look down in Matthew 25, verse 14, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a trip. He called together his servants and gave them money to invest for him while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of gold to one, 2 bags of gold to another, and 1 bag of gold to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of gold began immediately to invest the money and soon doubled it. The servant with two bags of gold also went right to work and doubled the money. But the servant who received one bag of gold dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money for safekeeping. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of gold said, "Sir, you gave me five bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Next came the servant who had received the two bags of gold with the report, "Sir, you gave me two bags of gold to invest, and I have doubled the amount." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the one bag of gold came and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth, and here it is." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. You think I'm a hard man, do you? Harvesting crops I didn't plant and gathering crops I didn't cultivate? Well, you should have at least put my money into the bank so I could have some interest. Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of gold. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But those who are unfaithful, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So this story of accountability of these men, it's dealing a little bit more with the business side of things. Now, without accountability, things get terribly out of balance. Charles Keating died this week. Most of you are old enough to remember who Charles Keating was and what he did. I don't think a lot of tears were shed when Charles Keating died the other day, I'll be honest with you. I read a story in the paper the other day about Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff's in jail. And there's a movie out right now called The Wolf of Wall Street, which I haven't seen. But it's about a guy named Jordan Belfort who stole millions and millions and millions of dollars from a lot of different people. And you know what these three guys, they prove? That the checks and balances that are in the business world, and Wayne deals with financial things, so I'm sure he understands there's checks and balances in his work. They can't replace personal accountability. Right. Greed is a powerful thing, and it causes people to do horrible things. There was a shooting the other day in Fort Hood. You know, 32 people died in Virginia Tech back in 2007. 20 children and 6 adults died at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012. 12 students and a teacher died in Columbine in 1999. These were all horrible, tragic things that happened. And you know, after these kind of things happen, blame is thrown in a lot of directions. And they try to see where it will stick. But I don't know that I ever really see anyone taking accountability for it when they happen. Now, you know, I've told you many times, and you're sick of hearing it, that I'm a music lover. Well, I like a guy named Jack Johnson. He is a secular musician, okay? And a couple years ago, he had a CD that was exactly what I needed to hear at that time in my life, because Joey and I didn't feel like we had enough time together. And this CD, these songs just spoke about relationship and love, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. Okay, and I'm not going to tell you I agree with everything I ever hear him say, but, you know, I mean, he's a pop singer. But at times, he'll say some very profound things in some songs, right? Well, you know, God does things amazingly. He really does. You know, I bought a used CD at the Half Price bookstore a week or so ago, and I gave it to a friend of mine at work to put on his iTunes because he likes him. And he gave it back to me, and I happened to put it in and listen to it. And there's a song on there that I don't know how to say this. I can't say that it was a happy song. And a lot of his songs are happy. They're fairly lighthearted songs. This wasn't a happy song, but this song always got my attention. And I'm going to read you the words to this song. And it's called Cookie Jar. And it has nothing to do with cookies. He says, I would turn on the TV, but it's so embarrassing to see all the other people. I don't know what they mean. It was magic at first when they spoke without sound. But now this world is going to hurt. You better turn that thing down. Turn it around. It wasn't me, says the boy with the gun. Sure, I pulled the trigger, but it needed to be done. Because life's been killing me ever since it begun. You can't blame me, I'm too young. You can't blame me. Sure, the killer was my son. But I didn't teach him to pull the trigger of the gun. It's the killing on his TV screen. You can't blame me. It's those images he's seen. You can't blame me, says the media man. I wasn't the one who came up with the plan. I just point my camera at what the people want to see. It's a two-way mirror, and you can't blame me. You can't blame me, says the singer of the song, or the maker of the movie, which he based his life on. It's only entertainment, as anyone can see. It's smoke machines and makeup. You can't fool me. It was you, it was me. It was every man. We've all got the blood on our hands. We only receive what we demand. And if we want hell, then hell's what we'll have. I would turn on the TV, but it's so embarrassing to see all the other people. Don't know what they mean. It was magic at first, but let everyone down. And now this world is going to hurt. You better turn it around. Now the carnal mind, it doesn't want to take accountability. It doesn't want it. That's too hard. But you know, what Jack was singing about here, it's not anything new. Genesis 3:1 says, Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all the creatures the Lord God had made. Really, he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat any of the fruit in the garden? Of course we may eat it, the woman told him. It's only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God says we must not eat it or even touch it or we will die. You won't die, the serpent hissed. God knows that your eyes will be opened when you eat it. You will become just like God, knowing everything, both good and evil. The woman was convinced. The fruit looked so fresh and delicious, and it would make her so wise. So she ate some of the fruit. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her. Then he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they strung fig leaves together around their hips to cover themselves. Toward evening, they heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid themselves among the trees. The Lord God called to Adam, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten the fruit I commanded you not to eat?" "Yes," Adam admitted, "but it was the woman you gave me who brought me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "How could you do such a thing?" "The serpent tricked me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." So this idea of passing the buck, it's not new. You know the line of that song that says, "We only receive what we demand, and if we want hell, then hell's what we'll have." You know, if we want an intimate, accountable relationship with God, then that is what we can have. That's what He wants. That's what He created us for. But do we really want it? Is it easy? No. Does it involve correction? Yes. If you want, you can turn to Hebrews 12. About the middle of verse 5. "My child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you, and don't be discouraged when He corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes those He accepts as His children. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as His own child. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined? If God doesn't discipline you as He does all of His children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really His children after all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who disciplined us, should we not all the more cheerfully submit to the discipline of our Heavenly Father and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always right and good for us because it means we will share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, will not stumble and fall, but will become strong." I like there where it says, "those who follow you." Accountability in you is an example to those around you. You know, last Sunday, Parker had a baseball practice Sunday afternoon at Waterworks. And at Waterworks Park, there are 6 full-length basketball courts there. And there are plenty of people on them playing basketball when it's a nice day. And last Sunday afternoon was a pretty nice day. Well, I was standing between the basketball courts and a muddy baseball field. Parker was practicing in the same area. And I was tossing ball with Jack and Sam. And I look over on the basketball court, and there's a couple of high school age kids fighting. And, you know, I mean, most of us don't see fights that often. You know, I saw them in school more than I see now. And, you know, I don't know, when you look out there and there's a whole 6 courts full of basketball players, you know, it could get totally out of control very quickly. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a father, and I got little kids. But anyway, this fight only lasted for a couple of minutes. Apparently, the one guy was running his mouth to the other guy, and the other guy didn't like it. And one guy did a whole lot more punching than the other guy. And he kind of slammed him down on the ground, and then the guy got up and he left. And, you know, I was standing at work the other day as I was thinking about some of these things, and I thought, God, why did I see that? That's not something I enjoyed seeing, you know? And I felt like he told me something. He said, son, that's the world's idea of accountability. It's a beatdown. Accountability is actually part of the maturing process in God. It's all about staying in harmony with Him, not punishment after the fact. You know, as parents, if we don't teach our kids accountability, we run the risk of our kids becoming prisoners to their fears, their failures, and their weaknesses. Just like we talked about with those horrible tragedies that happened in the past. Because sometimes prisoners take desperate, irrational, tragic actions to try to escape what's got them bound. And that doesn't end good. Philippians 3 tells us how to stay out of that bondage. Philippians 3:12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take these weak mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power that he will use to conquer everything everywhere. And then if you jump over to 4:4, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I saw a little illustration yesterday of the word accountability on a picture, and it was surrounded by all these other words. And these are the words that were surrounding it: pledge, subjection, restraint, obligation, enforcement, understanding, loyalty, conscience, promise, obedience, adherence, responsibility, regulation, and bond. You know, Philippians 4:8 said, think about things that are pure, lovely, and admirable. I just read you a list of things that are pure, lovely, and admirable. Now, I'm extremely glad that I had the sense to let the great physician treat my wound. I ignored it for way too long. I was thinking this morning about gangrene. What happens if you get gangrene in a wound that's not treated right? It has to be cut off. You know, one of my favorite songs that we sing around here is, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. You know, it's an essential part of our maturity. Accountability is. And we can only become that sanctuary that song sings about as we're changed. And then we can use that change to help others who need the same change. And then we can share our freedom from bondage with them and help them find the way to freedom. And that's all I got for you today. I'm not trying to beat you up. Hopefully you don't feel like I was beating you up. Accountability in every part of your life makes for a better life. I want to close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's so much more than just words on a page. I thank you that they have the power to jump off the page and jump into our head and our heart and start to lead our steps. So that's what they really do, Lord. They give us a road map to follow. Lord, I ask you to help me, and I ask you to help my brothers and sisters that are here today to stay accountable to you and to their families and their relationships and their employers. It's all for their growth, Lord. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the beautiful day that it's outside, Lord. Have your way in it. I ask you to bring Dad and Jim safe home today, refreshed and renewed. And I just thank you for everything, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody needs any prayer, we're always here. If not, enjoy lunch.